Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Gentlemen, we know here at Neighbors of Hope, the weather's breaking, trees are budding, birds are flying, squirrels are dancing, all that stuff. Spring's in the air, right? And it's safe to say that it's been a long winter in this little blue house. Agree?
Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you. And we talk, particularly in our Life Change program, that when spring comes, it can provide us invitations for departure. It's springtime. Yeah, it's, yeah, we want to go to the park and play with a frisbee. We want to go to the lake and get on the boat. We want to do all these things. And I'm in this little blue house with 20 other stinky-footed men. All right, that's understandable. That reality can also create some anxieties with us. Right? And so today I want us to hear from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount what he speaks about when it comes to issues like worry. Okay? So can I get somebody to read from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25 through 34, please?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and all his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know about you, but if you read this close enough, it's like, well, you know, don't worry. Not like, don't worry, be happy. Right? But don't worry. And then he ends, you know, he kind of gives you this long thing about Solomon and God taking care of the birds and all that stuff. It's, oh, okay, well, God cares about me. And then he ends it with, besides that, tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. It's like, oh, I thought we were going to get some reprieve here. No, life and life's challenges always leave us with some anxiety. And so let's just take a few moments to go around the table here and maybe share with our listening audience what some of those anxieties are. What do you worry about?
If I'm going to really sum it all up, failing.
Failing at what?
Everything I'm doing today, which is being sober, being a good dad, learning how to be a good dad. Because all my life I've been a failure. I've always started to do good, and I stick with it for a bit, but then I become a coward and run away and do what I'm used to doing and failing. I'm scared to do all this, but I'm doing it.
Okay. sometimes a fear like that can actually be a pretty good motivator for us. It may keep us on our square. Right? And if we're that familiar with failure in our life history, then maybe what really scares us is success, because we haven't done much of that. Don't know what that's like. Okay. Anybody else?
I think my biggest anxiety in life would be, especially now in my walk with Christ, that for my kids, you know, when I start to work again on our relationship in a more steady existence, I guess, my biggest anxiety is not having the right tools to be able to teach them the things I know, or to be able to teach them anything correctly. I've never been able to do that before. I never followed rules, and now I am, you know, and it's strange, but I think more than that, the anxiety of getting my kids to follow Christ with me. One's 10 and one's 4, and, you know, one's going to be a little easier, I think, but it's just, it really does weigh on my heart a lot, is I don't even know how to do that because it was never done for me.
Children have a capacity to imitate as part of their learning process. And so if you stay on point, and whether that just be, I go to work, I pay the bills, I go to church, and when they watch dad do what dad's doing, they learn. All right? It's not necessarily a special formula. Right? Jesus called 12 disciples, call them apostles, that followed him. And basically what he says, look, say what I say and do what I do. Paul cites himself as, I imitate Christ, so imitate me. Right? Even as children of God, we're being led to imitate. Right. Anybody else?
Yeah, for me it's lazy to... Mainly just failing myself. I failed myself so much in my life because I just didn't believe that God had my back. And so for me, it's just about trying to understand that no matter what I do, no matter what I may go through, that, you know, God has this. And when I fail, for me, it's just me thinking that I got everything in order, that I can plan this all out. I can plan for tomorrow. And tomorrow isn't promised, but I just kind of like overshoot everything, thinking that everything is, I got this, when in actuality I don't, because if I did, I wouldn't be here right now. And so it's just about me coming to the understanding and knowing that, you know, God has my back no matter what I may go through. And I know that I'm going to fail many more times in life and everything, but just about knowing that, you know, God can take care of it all if I just trust in God. And my biggest thing is just completely just giving it all to God, trusting in God no matter what I go through, you know, no matter what the circumstances may be, whether it's dealing with my children, just everything in life, God has this. I am not in control. And for me, it's just thinking that I can control it, and I can. Every time I try to, I fail. So it's just about giving it to God.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I think that's kind of what Jesus starts out saying, all right? You know, why worry? I mean, doesn't God take care of all the birds and things like that? It's his way of saying, look, at the wisdom I'm going to teach you here is God is greater than all human circumstances. That is a position of faith. And by faith is, if we believe that, whether it just be intellectually, does our life reflect a level of trust in that truth? And sometimes that's for everybody. That can be a very difficult circumstance to be in, because particularly given our background, you know, whether it be homelessness and addiction and all those type of things, or our criminal histories, we've kind of looked out for number one. I'm the guy I trust. And yet, look where my trust has landed me. Okay, so, all right, I'm sharp enough to realize, well, some changes got to take place. But these are habits, and developing new habits of the heart that lead us to trust God and the truth that God is greater than all of our human circumstances. Now, that takes work. It takes an effort, right? And we'll see Jesus later on and say, well, you have little faith. Now, gentlemen, I think everybody here has faith, correct?
Yes.
So Jesus isn't saying that you don't have faith. What he is saying, is it really, is your faith sufficient? You know, it's almost a word of encouragement, like grow some more faith in the truth that God is greater than all human circumstances. So whatever you're feeling at the time, God's greater. You know, your belly's grumbling a little bit, God's greater. Right? Yeah, and so God will get you food. When you woke up this morning, were you worried about Neighbors of Hope not feeding you?
No.
But who's actually feeding you? I didn't come over here and cook you breakfast. I mean, where did that food come from?
God. Well, God's people.
Yeah, God and God's people.
God working through people.
Exactly. Right, so it's not. Jesus just pointed out the basic needs of God. God's got your back. Right, it's up to us on whether or not we're going to trust that truth. The second point I want to highlight here is Jesus makes reference to Solomon and all of Solomon's splendor. Now, this is Matthew's way of saying, look at the wisdom that's coming off Jesus' lips at this moment on the Sermon on the Mount is greater than all the teaching of Solomon. He's highlighting that Jesus is a rabbi. And this wisdom teaching that God is bigger than all circumstances in reflection to Solomon and all of his glory, all of his splendor, all this, because Solomon was wealthy enough to have all the resources. And sometimes we can get caught up in the same mindset. You know, if only I had a job that gave me enough money. Now, what's enough at this point? Car payment, rent, utilities, child support, food. Okay, if only I had, you know, a $30,000 a year job, I could make it. And my guess is we'll spend all $30,000. Well, if only I had a $40,000 a year job now. If only, see, you, really where our faith and our trust then is in the resources. And Jesus pointed out, you know, God is greater than all human circumstances and all the resources that Solomon relied on. Does that make sense? So the first thing he points towards is God. And his wisdom then says that this truth is greater than all of Solomon. And therefore you must... What does he say you have to do?
Trust.
First seek his kingdom and all his righteousness. And everything will be given to you.
Yeah. So if we're going to say we trust that God is greater than all human circumstances, if you want to overcome worry, you need to seek after that. Right? That God's dominion, right? God's reign, God's realm, not God's place. We're not talking about kingdom as being a territory in some place. Right? We're talking about God's will, God's reign, God's rule. What God... it has dominion over. And exactly what does God have dominion over? Everything. Okay. Now that can just be an intellectual exercise, or it's a truth that gets down deep down inside of me that starts freeing me from the anxieties that are, one, shifting my mindset, my heart set from where I'm supposed to be in relationship to God. And secondly, then that evolves into a reality where I'm just worrying all the time. Well, gentlemen, I thank you very much for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you could become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.